everyone, and a sincere warm welcome from us all from Worcester Talking News in conjunction with Worcester News and Equipment Services for the Visually Impaired. Today we are bringing you news from Friday the 12th of April to today, Thursday the 18th of April. Our team today are Sue Perry, Lynn Seymour, Peter Carter and myself, Kate Hudman. Our engineer is Barry Hurd. All the very essential administration and copying to ensure you receive your newspaper is done by Carol Hartle and her hard-working team, to whom we extend our grateful thanks. We warmly welcome any new listeners and remind you that you can contact us by telephone on 01905 767766 or by putting a note in your returning wallet, whichever you prefer. You will always be responded to, although we're not always here every day, but you will get a reply. The service is entirely free and also includes a regular magazine and access to our Talking Books library, which is free to you on request. We love to hear from you and we'll always respond, as I said, but we can't always be here, but we will return your messages. Please don't forget to give us your birthday, and then we can include them, all your birthdays, in our birthday book greetings, which we like to do very much. It gives us a lot of pleasure. Oops. We will now bring you the week's headline stories, other assorted interesting articles, local entertainment, sports stories, our thought for the week, obituaries, followed by useful telephone numbers. First of all, though, we open our birthday book. So I hand over to Peter.
Good evening. There's only one birthday, and that's on the 27th for Marjorie Hughes. Happy birthday, Marjorie.
And that, thank you, Peter. And the entertainment now with Lynn.
Hello, everyone. Entertainment in and around Worcester. First of all, Malvern Theatre. And we have Alfred Hitchcock's The 39 Steps, but it's Alfred Hitchcock, not as you know it. It's a hilarious and joyous version of the Hitchcock classic. And that runs from Tuesday the 14th to Saturday the 18th. Evening performances are 7:30 and there are matinees on Wednesday and Saturday at 2:30. Following on from that, we've got Malvern Concert Club, the Brodsky Quartet, performing Shostakovich Complete String Quartets. And that runs from Friday the 7th of June to Sunday the 9th of June. There are different quartets at each performance, so if you're interested in watching that, you will need to check which quartet you want to listen to. And Friday and Saturday, there are evening performances at 7:30, a matinee on Saturday at 3 o'clock, and then Sunday, two performances, 11:30 and 3 p.m. On the Thursday, the 27th of June at 7:45, the Illegal Eagles. Following on from that, Worcester Theatre, the Swan Theatre and Huntingdon Hall in Worcester. Friday, the 26th of April at 7:30, Go Your Own Way, the Fleetwood Mac Legacy. And at Huntingdon Hall, A Night of Blues and Boogie, a wonderful, varied and entertaining night of blues. That's on Saturday the 27th of April at 7:30. Number 8 at Pershaw. There's a recorded version of Carmen and it's coming from the Royal Opera House. That's on Tuesday the 7th of May at 6:45. Following on from that, Saturday the 11th of May at 7:30. The Julie July Band album launch, and that's a British folk rock band. On Friday the 17th of May at 7:30, author Elizabeth Sharkey joins us here at number 8 to talk about British music history as explored in her best-selling book, Why Britain Rocked, How Rock Became Rock and Took Over the World. Norbury Theatre in Droitwich, Worcester Gilbert and Sullivan Society present Patience. That's on Saturday at 7:30. And I'm just looking for the date. It starts on Wednesday the 15th to Saturday the 18th of May. And lastly, Three Choirs Festival is at Worcester this year. That's running from the 27th of July to the 3rd of August. And that concludes the entertainments in and around Worcester.
Thanks very much, Lynn. And now Sue will start the headline news.
The first headline is Crooked Ground's Future Uncertain. The future is uncertain for the city's iconic cricket ground after an unprecedented record volume of flooding. Worcestershire County Cricket Club revealed that continuous flooding of New Road has created a real issue regarding the club's sustainability. New Road is a known location in the city that spends much of the winter months underwater due to the flooding of the River Severn. It is an iconic ground loved by the cricket fans nationwide for its iconic views of Worcester Cathedral. It has been graced by the likes of Ian Botham and Imran Khan down the years. The board of Worcestershire Cricket Club said it is now exploring every option, including a move from its current New Road location. A statement by Worcestershire County Cricket Club read, "Given the recent unprecedented record volume of flooding at New Road and the increasing regularity of flooding, the board of Worcestershire County Cricket Club understands that there are very real issues regarding the sustainability of the club. As a board, we will make it our key priority to explore every option, including a move from New Road, over the next few months, so we can provide the membership and key stakeholders with a plan. This is to ensure the long-term future of Worcestershire County Cricket Club." The news comes after Dave Thropp, a retired Environmental Agency manager who spent 20 years in the role, said flooding in the city is getting bigger due to a rapidly changing climate. He said, "We expect significant increases in flood peaks due to climate change in the near future. What to do? We can engineer our way out. Raising existing defences won't be technically, financially or environmentally possible. Designing future defences to a much higher standard of protection would make them many times more expensive and physically huge." Meanwhile, supporter and former Cricket Development Board member, Councillor Jabba Riaz, said the news was disheartening, but he understood why the club may make the decision to move. "It is a small club fighting for its weight and it's achieving unfathomable results, the city councillor said. "As a supporter and a resident, I am gutted to hear the news, but what other solution is there? If investment comes, it could spend millions on raising the ground or building a wall around the pitch, but that will block views and there are other issues with planning. There is no easy solution. I think it is disheartening and disappointing, but I think logistically moving on may be their only choice." Worcester County Cricket Club was formed on March the 4th, 1865, and the team moved into its New Road home shortly after in 1896.
Saturday, April the 13th, I might not come back. Cyclist unsure about return after bike trashed. An intrepid cyclist says he'll think twice before visiting Worcester again after his newly bought bike was trashed overnight. Sam Bossman is now stuck in the city and says his cycling adventure is ruined after his bike, which was locked up near the canal in Sidbury, was decimated. The 30-year-old was on a cycling trip, having travelled 33 miles from Birmingham to Worcester on Thursday. He planned to continue his journey on to Gloucester yesterday, but his trip has been cut short due to the vandalism. Mr. Bossman had only bought the bike in the past month and only insured it yesterday before the trip. He said he's had several bikes stolen from him in the past. Mr. Bossman, an actor from Birmingham, said he was frustrated and disappointed after seeing the front wheel and handlebars were ripped from his bike. He said, "I'm on a little adventure, cycling. I actually just bought the bike. I left it overnight. I took a picture of it because I have had quite a few bikes nicked. I'm just unlucky. It's ruined the trip. I was going to go to Gloucester. It happens so much, even though I've got two locks on. It's not that surprising. It's really annoying, but at least this time I've got insurance." He chained his bike up outside the Commandery coffee shop when arriving in the city yesterday and spent the night at the Old Talbot. He spoke with the owners of the coffee shop, who told him of similar incidents of theft and vandalism. He said, "They were just telling me a lot of people have stuff stolen here. They gave me a free cup of coffee." After being asked whether he would be visiting Worcester again any time soon, Mr. Bossman added, "I suppose I would think twice. I would definitely bring an extra bike lock, or two, or three, or maybe just not come back at all." He had contacted his insurers and West Midland Police to report the incident. Mr. Bossman, who is an artistic director of a film and theatre company, Dead Man, said he will now have to get the train back to the second city from Worcester.
And the headline for Monday, April the 15th, "Heartbreak for City. Fans' pride is undimmed as Wembley dream ends in despair for Worcester City fans." Worcester City fans' hopes of a trip to Wembley were shattered in a nerve-wracking penalty shootout. While they take pride in their team winning the league, their chances of glory in the Isuzu FA Vase were dashed by Great Wakering Rovers. "I am gutted for the lads and the fans," said assistant manager Ryan Rowe. The scenes at full time on Saturday down in Southend were one of dejection for Worcester City after they saw their Wembley dreams dashed by Great Wakering Rovers in the most dramatic of circumstances. Their penalty shootout defeat in the semi-final second leg of the Isuzu FA Vase was one that dug deep for the management team, players and supporters. You could see it in the eyes of City star Kyle Belmont following the spot kick drama in which his attempt went wide, how much that one hurt. And captain Adam Mace struggled to find the words to sum it all up. "Obviously, I don't think there is a worse way to go out of a competition," he said. "But we gave it our all, and that's what we said to each other on Friday night and before the game. If we can come off the pitch and we can say that we left it all out there, that's all we wanted to do. I am so proud of them all, I really am. Credit to our supporters for travelling down. They gave it their all as much as we did. It's heartbreaking, but sometimes it's just not meant to be." These comments were echoed by assistant manager Ryan Rowe, who stood in for boss Chris Corns on Saturday, who was serving as a touchline ban. "I am gutted for the lads and the fans," he added. "This is going to take some time for it to sink in. All credit to them, Great Wakering. They sat in and hit us on the counter attack. Credit where it's due. The lads are really gutted, but it's now about trying to lift the lads and keep going. The season is not over and we have to go again, but I am totally gutted for them. This Vase was the dream. The league was always our bread and butter, but the Vase was a dream for us. I think we look tired. We have played something like 65 games this season, and in that last 15 minutes we looked leggy and we looked like everything caught up to us, and it's taken its toll in the end."
This is from Tuesday, April the 16th. "Nurse struck off for child abuse pictures. A city nurse has been sacked from the profession after being caught with indecent images of children and animals. Rusty J. Tehupon can no longer work as a nurse after the Nursing and Midwifery Council decided to strike off the nurse during a hearing last month. The ex-nurse was jailed for 14 months for making indecent photographs, pseudo-photographs of children, processing them and having indecent images of sexual acts being carried out on an animal. Tay Hopon was employed by the Worcestershire Acute Hospital NHS Trust and at the time was under investigation for possession and distribution of indecent images. He had then later admitted to possessing unlawful images after an interview under caution with the police. The Nursing and Midwifery Council Fitness to Practice Committee found that even though the images were not in relation to his career, they did not pose a risk to patients and the wider public. A spokesperson for the panel said Tay Hopon's actions were an appalling departure from the standards expected of a registered nurse and are fundamentally incompatible with his remaining on the register. The panel was of the view that the findings in this particular case demonstrates that his actions were so serious that to allow him to continue practicing or to suspend him temporarily from the register would seriously damage public confidence. It determined that the appropriate and proportionate sanction is that of striking off. Having regard to the effect of his actions in bringing the profession into disrepute by adversely affecting the public's view of how a registered nurse should conduct himself, the panel has concluded that nothing short of this would be sufficient in this case. The location in the report was given as Worcestershire. Tay Hopon has also been made subject to a sexual harm prevention order and has ordered to sign the sex offenders register for 10 years. Stephen Coleman, Managing Director at Worcestershire Acute Hospital's NHS Trust, said, "We carried out a full investigation as soon as we were informed of the allegations and took the appropriate safeguarding and disciplinary action."
This is some Friday, April the 12th. The worst junction in Worcester, which leaves drivers totally blind because of a railway bridge blocking their view, is due to be improved with hatchings. The junction of Blackpole Road and Brickfields Road in Worcester has been dubbed one of the worst in the city by Councillor Lynn Denham after listening to the views of voters at the doorstep. The joint leader of Worcester City Council's scathing remarks, also followed by Worcester News readers last October, which exposed it as the city's most dangerous junction and perhaps also its most hated. Drivers complain of poor visibility as they pull out of Blackpole Road into Brickfields Road, their view obscured by the railway bridge with edging out compared to a leap of faith. Councillor Denham found herself also a Rainbow Hill County Councillor for Labour, branded the junction horrible or horrible. However, plans are afoot to make the junction easier to navigate by introducing hatchings at the centre of Blackpole Road, a T-junction leading onto Brickfields Road. But the move could mean one lane for drivers turning both left and right out of Blackpole Road to accommodate the hatchings. A time frame for the work has not yet been announced by Worcestershire County Council, the Highways Authority, but it is on its way to do on the to-do list. The aim is that the hatchings will help protect vehicles waiting at the stop line by pushing them further away from those making the left turn and to encourage drivers turning right to take up a position which allows them a slightly better view of the traffic approaching from the right. Councillor Lynn Denham said she has raised the issue since she was elected as a county councillor in May 2021, with her initial conversations, both highways hinging on how unpleasant it was for pedestrians walking under the railway bridge. Councillor Denham said, "The majority of traffic comes down Blackpole Road and turns under the bridge. You pulling out blind, the hatchings would not require illegal, will not be illegal. I agree it is one of the most horrible junctions in Worcestershire and if you're coming down Blackpool Road. At the moment it totally deserves its reputation, the worst junction in Worcester. according to preliminary plans from Worcestershire County Council, the main disadvantage of the scheme is a reduction in width on the exit side of the junction, meaning that only one vehicle will be able to exit at a time, whereas at the moment left and right turners can exit simultaneously. A spokesman for Worcestershire County Council said, "We can confirm this scheme has been added to the up-and-coming programme of works."
Thursday, April the 18th. Bridge work stalls. City River Crossing project on hold as firm goes bust. An ambitious project to build a new city bridge has hit a hurdle after one of the subcontractors responsible for making the structure went into administration. The Keepax Bridge in Gullivelt Park in Worcester hangs unfinished over the River Severn after one of the subcontractors responsible for fabricating the bridge went into administration. Work is still scheduled for completion towards the end of 2024, as long as there are no significant delays such as flooding, as council leaders gave assurances it would not be a significant setback. Subcontract SH Structures went into administration earlier this month, and now the main contractor, Alan Griffiths, must appoint a new one before work can carry on. Despite the situation, bosses at Worcestershire County Council insist the bridge is still on course to be completed by the end of the year and within budget. The project has also been hampered by flooding. SH Structures, which designs, supplies, manufactures and installs complex steel structures, has been approached for a comment but had not responded by the time we went to press. Councillor Mark Bayliss, Cabinet Member with responsibility for economy, infrastructure and skills and the Conservative candidate to be Worcester's next MP, said he had been reassured that the project would carry on time and within the cost envelope. He added, "It's a shame. It's one of the subcontractors. It's not the main contractor. These things happen in business. But officers have assured me that we're still on course for delivery this year, which was always the time frame. I'm really excited, and we can see the bridge is almost there in many ways." Councillor Lynn Denham, joint Labour leader of Worcester City Council and a county councillor, said, "I'm sorry to hear that one of the firms involved in the construction of Keepax Bridge has gone bust. It must be really difficult for them and for their employees. There has to be a concern from Worcester people that we are going to have a building site continuing within Gullivelt Park. I know that, as the City Council, we have been making plans for landscaping the site when the bridge is finished. I don't know in terms of the growing season if these plans can be now be put in jeopardy." A spokesperson for Worcestershire County Council said, "We have been made aware that SH Structures Limited, one of the subcontractors working on the construction of Keepax Bridge in Worcester, entered administration earlier this month. Our principal contractor, Alan Griffiths Contractors Limited, is now working to appoint a new subcontractor to work on the project going forward. We can confirm that we still expect to open the bridge by the end of the year, and that Worcestershire County Council will not incur any additional cost as a result of SH Structures going into administration. The bridge will run from Gullivelt Park to the east of the river to the Keepax site in St John's to the west. When it is finished, it will allow users to enjoy a figure of eight route along the River Severn from the Diglis Bridge in the south to the recently refurbished Sabrina Bridge to the new bridge in the north and back again."
Work starts at a crossing. Urgent work is underway to improve a zebra crossing where a woman was knocked down by a car and seriously hurt. Temporary traffic lights with a button-operated crossing have been installed at Windermere Drive in Warnden, outside Sainsbury's Blackpool in Worcester, as the improvement work begins. A woman in her 40s was knocked down at the crossing by a Nissan Figaro at the zebra crossing near Sainsbury's, Blackpool, on Wednesday, February the 7th, at about 5:20pm. Councillor Jill Desiree, a Labour city councillor who lobbied for the crossing a year before the woman was knocked down, hopes it is a sign a pelican crossing will be installed there. Councillor Desiree was among a group of Labour councillors who handed a 200-signature petition calling for a pelican crossing to highways bosses at County Hall. However, Mike Rouse, Cabinet Member for Highways and Transport, said improvements at the zebra crossing would have been ordered in any case and there was no guarantee a pelican crossing would form part of the scheme. Councillor Rouse, a Conservative, said, "We must remember that a woman was very sadly seriously injured as a result of a crash at this crossing point, and we send our best wishes to her as she continues her recovery. This was a trauma that should not be repeated, and as a county council we take incidents like these very seriously. It does not take a petition for us to act in these circumstances, because we do it because it's the right thing to do and improve safety so that we can avoid the same thing happening again. The short-term work will involve making the existing crossing more conspicuous, including upgrading of the existing Belisha beacons with brighter LED halos. The guard railings will also be altered." Workers on site said 23 metal panels would be removed and 6 would remain. Councillor Rouse added, "In addition to the interim improvements, we are conducting an in-depth study to incorporate wider issues along Windermere Drive between the Blackpool traffic roundabout and the Sainsbury's supermarket mini roundabout. The work undertaken will consider the replacement of the existing zebra crossing with a pelican crossing facility. It's important to note that this means a pelican crossing is not yet guaranteed, as it will be subject to the outcome of the in-depth study. This is important because the last thing we would want to do is put something in place that could actually make the situation worse, so we need the results of a proper study before we start anything."
Was this a big cat sighting? A motorist was stunned after spotting a panther-like big cat in a field and then finding its prints. Geoff Thompson pulled over in a lay-by on a country lane between Great Whitley and Martley. The YouTuber and classic car enthusiast stopped to take photographs of his car when he noticed something strange in the distance. He then spotted a large shape lurking in the field behind the car on April the 14th and then investigated and found its prints. Mr. Thompson said, "I just went out for a sunny drive. I noticed it as I started photographing my car. I think it was a panther." In the 24-second video filmed on his mobile phone, he can be heard exclaiming, "What the heck is that animal?" Mr. Thompson, who runs the popular YouTube channel Geoff Buys Cars, attempted to track the animal and record evidence of its tracks. He said, "I saw this mystery animal, so I'm going to take a stroll down this field and see how much mud there is at the bottom. The ground is very wet, so if there are any prints or anything, we'll see them. There's no dog walkers, there's no one. It's early in the morning, no one's around and no one at all. Big cats have always been a hit, a bit of an obsession, a fascination of mine since I was a kid. So actually to see something odd while out and about is pretty funny in my book." He got in touch with big cat researcher and filmmaker Tim Wittard, who produced the award-winning documentary Pantheria Britannica Declassified, which claims to prove that big cats are living in wilderness of rural Britain. Mr. Wittard, 38, of Gloucester, shared his video with other experts. He explained, "I have had some of my colleagues look over it, and while we can't definitively say it was a big cat, the possibility remains on the table. It absolutely could have been a big cat. Consensus seems to suggest that the majority of the tracks photographs are more likely to be a dog than anything else. So whilst the tracks do not yield positive proof, the video of the sighting itself is very organic, very natural, and we can't rule out a cat."
Rats and pigeons have caused scores of pest control reports at the city's hospital in the last year. Worcestershire Royal Hospital contracted 74 jobs in 12 months to eliminate rodents, birds, pigeons, ants and other insects from the site. across all Worcestershire acute hospitals NHS trust sites, including Worcestershire Royal, there were 91 cases in the same period between February 2023 and January 2024. The data comes after the Liberal Democrats conducted several Freedom of Information requests to reveal how many pests roam NHS hospitals. The number of pest control reports at Worcestershire Royal Hospital had reduced slightly from the previous year, with 79 jobs conducted. A spokesperson for Worcestershire Acute Hospitals Trust said, was working alongside contracting partners. We work hard to keep our sites as free as possible from pests and ensure that colleagues are aware of the services available to manage pest control where necessary. There were reports of pests made. These were followed up and appropriate action is taken where necessary to ensure good standards of pest control in all areas of our hospital sites. The Trust said the amount of money spent on dealing with these pests is commercially sensitive.
Not guilty pleas to deaths. A driver accused of killing two women and a six-year-old boy by dangerous driving following a crash in Spetchley has pleaded not guilty to this and other charges. Joe Lewis Tyler appeared at Worcester Crown Court on a live stream as he pleaded not guilty to all charges he is facing relating to the fatal crash on the A44 in Spetchley on February the 22nd. The 33-year-old of Grenville Road, Dines Green, appeared in court yesterday. The crash killed six-year-old Leo Painter, Claire Adkins, aged 39, and Courtney Hemming, aged 26. The defendant pleaded not guilty to three counts of causing death by dangerous driving, three counts of causing death while uninsured, one count of causing serious injury by dangerous driving, and one count of taking a motor vehicle without the owner's consent. The crash happened at about 3 p.m. that Thursday when a grey BMW 3 Series car collided with a white Ford Mondeo. The judge asked the family liaison officer, who represented the victims' families, to agree on a date so they could also attend. Tyler will now appear in Worcester Crown Court on Tuesday, August the 27th, for a trial by jury. Claire Adkins and Courtney Hemmings, both from Worcester, died at the scene when the white Ford Mondeo, which they were travelling in, was in collision with the grey BMW. Six-year-old Leo Painter, also in the Mondeo, was rushed to Worcester Royal Hospital, but he died a short time later. His mum, Gemma, remembered Leo as a wonderful little boy. She said he always had a smile on his face and was a bundle of fun. I'm heartbroken that I won't see him again.
A warning was issued after police revealed another scam was circulating in Worcester. Cathedral SNT warned that a resident had received a letter through the post from insurance companies cancelling policies on vehicles they do not own. It has led to concerns that this might be happening to other residents. PCSO Ian Cadwallader said, "We have been made aware of another potential scam or fraud. If you receive similar through the post or via email, please contact your bank via a verified number, i.e. the bank number, not the one that's perhaps given to you in the email, and make sure no transactions have occurred. Also, do not phone the numbers from these messages. Do some searching on the internet and find the correct contact details. By doing this, you may confirm the details sent have been correct after all."
Funding blow means charity cutting back. A Worcester-based charity that supports children with special educational needs has been dealt a major blow through a cut to its funding. New Hope, based in Ronkswood in Worcester, was previously funded by Worcestershire County Council but has received the news of a cutback in its funding. This is due to a greater emphasis on putting funding towards different services across the county, but will ultimately have an impact on the care and support a city charity is able to offer. Worcestershire County Council have commissioned out, which has left us in the hands of a company called Sutton Croft, who are dealing with us, said the New Hope founder, Jean Wilson. She said there would be more choice for parents across the county, adding, they have obviously asked people what they want and decided that funding will go to other areas of the county. So it will open up opportunities in those other areas in the county. Mrs. Wilson, who set up the charity 14 years ago, said the impact of its cut meant it could no longer support as many children as it did previously. We can't support 10 children a day anymore, she said. We can take 5 to 6 children some days, but it means parents have to travel to other areas of the county to get those places. New Hope offers families short breaks from their day-to-day responsibilities where children are supported in leisure activities. Mrs. Wilson stressed the importance of what the charity stood for. Not only did it support disadvantaged children, but offered respite for parents who work full-time. The charity is hugely important. Parents are able to cope better. They can give more time to their other children. We can't take any further steps with the situation. The landscape has now changed. You could argue that prices have gone through the roof, but the council could then argue that they haven't got the money. There's not much we can do, Mel Barnett, Worcestershire Children's First Director for All Age Disabilities, said. This year we have joined up with our holiday activities and food programme to commission the short breaks groups and activities in Worcestershire. The budget for this has remained the same, and we have commissioned a diverse range of groups to provide as many places as possible across the whole county and to support the diverse needs of children and young people. We are aware that some providers' costs have increased significantly this year, which has resulted in them having to review the number of places they can offer. We are committed to continuing to develop our groups and activities offer to children and young people with SEND, and we will be seeking feedback from these families who have accessed these services to help us plan for what we deliver during the summer holidays.
A Worcester couple who run a popular coffee shop in the heart of the city say it has been consistently enjoyable as they prepare to leave their post. Pete and Gemma Round from Worcester have taken charge of the Commandery Coffee over the past 7 years, but have decided to spread their wings. The couple confirmed the news on the coffee shop's social media pages, which has been met with a flood of messages wishing them all the best for the future. After 7 years of running Commandery Coffee, Pete and I have decided it's our time to move on. The post read, our last day of trading will be the 31st of May and we will be open as normal up until this date, so would love to serve you all as much as we can until then. Mr. Round said he and his wife are now looking to take on a new challenge. We decided we needed a change, basically, he said. We are looking to do something different. We have been running the shop since 2017, and that is a little over 7 years. Gemma ran it for 6 months for someone else, who then decided they didn't want to carry on with it. Mr. Round said the couple had nothing but positive memories to look back on. It has been fantastic, all of it, he said. The customers, the people, the experiences and the memories. Everyone has been so welcoming to us since we have been here, but all good things have to come to an end. It's such a positive place to be. I remember we had so much support from customers during COVID. It's been consistently enjoyable. There are too many highlights to choose from. While Mr. Round admitted customers were naturally disappointed to see them go, they appreciated why they were following their hearts and doing what was right for them. Nothing is concrete, and as to what we do next, he added. We have a few options that we are looking into, but we hope to stay in a similar line of work. It's under wraps for now, but people can follow us on social media to see what we do next. Mr. Round, who also paid tribute to the fantastic staff at the coffee shop, saying they had been really supportive and that both were really grateful and would miss them.
Elgar Festival is at risk following cuts. The Elgar Festival, one of the county's renowned arts celebrations, is pleading for support amid sweeping arts funding cuts across the nation. The festival has revealed that funding reductions from Arts Council England are significantly impacting its ability to deliver arts projects. Kenneth Woods, Elgar's festival's artistic director, said, "It's important to start by saying that the Arts Council has been a tremendous force for good in British cultural life for generations. That said, the climate is very difficult, and this year's festival will be getting 40% less from the Arts Council than last year." Mr. Woods added, "The Arts Council is operating under really difficult funding restraints, which have built up over more than a decade of standstill revenues. But they have also made a number of strategic decisions to shift investment away from traditional art forms into community work, non-traditional art forms, urban renewal, and social justice." Mr. Woods also stressed, "All of these are worthwhile endeavours, but the Arts Council is the only dedicated state funder of the arts serving English communities and supporting English artists and arts organisations." The Elgar Festival, celebrating Britain's best-known composer, Edward Elgar, appealed for donations to ensure the festival's success this year and its future. "People and organisations are urged to contribute towards the festival through its GoFundMe page. This year's festival, running from Monday, May the 27th until Sunday, June the 2nd, under the theme The Origins of Inspiration, will intertwine orchestral, chamber, vocal and choral concerts with exhibits and lectures. Taking place at various venues across Worcestershire, it will feature an array of internationally renowned guest artists and put Elgar's music alongside some of today's biggest names. Launched in 2018 by decree of Worcester City Council, the Elgar Festival is traditionally held on the closest weekend to Elgar's birthday, the 2nd of June. Since the festival began, it has doubled in size and scale and shared Elgar's music to a wide audience. For those interested in the festival, a complete list of events, costs and booking information is available on the festival's website.
A shocked pub manager discovered an exceptionally rare silver 2p in her purse, 2 pence that would be, was minted in error in the 1980s. Jean Abraham, licensee of the Swan Inn in Port Street, Evesham, discovered the rare silver 2 pence coin minted in 1988 in her purse and is not sure how it got there. "I must have been given it in one of the shops I have been in. It was in my purse with my receipt," said Miss Abraham. On eBay, a silver 2 pence coin is selling for £1,850, a coin minted in 1971, and another, also minted in 1971, for £1,299. However, Miss Abraham, 51, said she intended to keep the coin. "It's so strange, it's become a bit of a conversation piece in the pub that I work in. It's classed as an error coin. I have heard back from the company in Glasgow who are coin collectors, and they're very interested in my coin. But I want to keep hold of it. I'm not interested in selling it. I'm just trying to find out more information about it. It's a bit unusual, and I like unusual things, unique things."
Worcester City women are one victory away from a final after overcoming league rivals Shifnal Town 2-0 in the Premier Cup quarters. The victory at Six Ways sees Worcester progress to face Coventry Sphinx in the semi-final of the West Midlands Regional Women's Football Premier League Cup, thanks to a brace from Jess Fastenage. The match was a fierce standoff with Shifnal, who currently hold the fifth position in the league, with Worcester coming back strongly after a 3-week hiatus. In the first half, Leah Ritson emerged as a key player, setting up the first goal within the opening minute by positioning the ball perfectly from Fasnich, who dealt the opening blow by tapping the ball into the net during a scramble in the area. Shifnal retaliated with a sustained possession, but were ultimately unable to penetrate the Worcester defence, with goalkeeper Sophia Stolt heroically stopping the visitors as they broke free for a one-on-one chance. The partnership between Ritson and Fasnich proved steadfast, though Shifnal's physicality and tenacity presented formidable opposition. Fasnich ended the half the same way it began, with a second goal in the 45th minute, the courtesy of an assist from Annie Syme. Despite trailing behind, Shifnal remained assertive and almost scored off a potentially threatening cross. However, Stolt once again thwarted their efforts with a timely save. The game welcomed the return of Annie Highway from injury and the debut of two development team players, Tilly Pearson and Alice Finley. Pearson and Finley brought renewed energy to the game, assisting Worcester in their pursuit of a third goal. Heading towards the 88th minute, Fasnich almost completed a hat-trick with some deft footwork, but the ball could not quite squeeze in from the post. Shifnal made several last-minute attempts to level the game, but Stoltz's steadfast goalkeeping resulted in another score kept out, aptly securing a clean sheet in the process. City will now look ahead towards a semi-final game against Coventry Sphinx at the Sphinx Industrial Supplies Arena next week.
And this is a little bit about netball. Seven Stars head coach Jo Tripp has lauded her team ahead of a tough test when Loughborough Lightning visit this weekend. Tripp has said that her team are continually improving, but recognises the looming challenge of the reigning Netball Super League champions. With only one position separating the teams, the fiercely anticipated clash will see second go up on the against third at University of Worcester Arena on Saturday, April the 13th at 6 p.m. Tripp said the team is going from strength to strength with another great win on the board. We have been scouting Loughborough Lightning this week and coming up with a plan around what we want to put out against them. We will continue to work on playing with freedom, running strong lines, being purposeful in everything we do, and increasing our intensity on defence across the full 60 minutes. The coach also gave due credit to the devoted Stars supporters, claiming we have the best fans. Adding to their winning moment, Stars secured victory last week over Surrey Storms on Sunday, April the 7th, securing a decisive triumph with 72-50 scoreline in front of their home crowd. Despite some early stumbles, the Stars quickly recovered to level the match and eventually took the lead before half-time, which they kept for what remained of the game. Coach Tripp said, "It was super exciting to perform on the court in front of another sold-out crowd. After three away games on the trot, it was nice to be back in our changing rooms and home arena in front of our fans, families and friends." Their undefeated run of wins, currently standing at six, is just one short of their total victories last season. With their eyes firmly set on breaking the record, Tripp maintains the Tripp's focus on their immediate challenges. She said, "We are only ever focused on the next game. We cannot and will not get ahead of ourselves. We have come out and stated our intent to be in the top four, and I do believe that week in, week out, we are continuing to build on to this." Tickets and further information are available on the Seven Stars website.
Academy teams to play final matches. The rugby academy that took on many former Worcester Warriors youngsters is set to play their final game after they were cut by the Rugby Football Union. Cheers echoed around Six Ways Stadium as it hosted the last matches for both the Midlands Rugby Academy, containing former Warriors, and Midlands Central Academy, which boasts former Wasps players. Warriors were suspended from Premiership Rugby in October 2022 after receiving a winding up petition by HMRC over an outstanding tax payment. The club's future remains uncertain. The first class clash was the under-16s Midland West tussle with the under-16s Midland Central. Following that, the under-17s took centre stage. This news came to light in a letter written by the RFU's Connor O'Shea and Premiership Rugby's Phil Winstanley. It revealed that alongside the two Midlands academies, London and South Central, which took on many from the also-collapsed London Irish, are all set to be discontinued, which has caused distress amongst rugby circles. Previously, when the three clubs collapsed, the RFU intervened by centralising the academies to protect players' futures and dreams in the process, as well as many staff from the old academies. In a new progression of the professional game partnership between the RFU and the PRL, it seems this process will be reversed, as boundaries for the remaining 11 academies will be revised for the 2024-25 season, to encompass the regions previously covered by the newly Axe 3. The 11 academies consist of 10 Gallagher Premiership Clubs academies and the Yorkshire Academy, which will stay centrally regulated. While the letter was distributed to players, parents and the various interested parties, a conclusive redrawing of each academy's boundaries is yet to be agreed, leaving stakeholders uncertain as to their position and awaiting further communication. The letter from the RFU and PRL stated, upon finalising the boundary redrawing, you will receive communication outlining what academy or academies you now qualify for, including the contact details for these academies. We would then encourage you to make contact as soon as possible. Players in the areas at stake, including Berkshire, Buckinghamshire, Hampshire, Herefordshire, Middlesex, Shropshire, Warwickshire, West Midlands and Worcestershire, appear to be all up for grabs for now, with the ambiguity surrounding academies for the 24-25 remaining.
Droitwich's world champion swimmer has called for Olympic medalists to be paid money in every sport. Matt Richards, a gold medalist in the men's 200-metre freestyle and Olympic champion in the 4x200-metre freestyle relay in Tokyo, believes the International Olympic Committee should offer athletes cash for Olympic medals in every sport to match the recent advancement by World Athletics. For the first time, track and field athletes will receive £40,000 for winning a gold medal at the upcoming Paris 2024 Olympic Games. Although some nations offer medal bonuses, no similar arrangements are being made in the other sports on the Olympic programme. Critics argue that such a move would devalue the Olympics. The 21-year-old champion swimmer, who has been announced as a member of Team GB's swimming team for the upcoming Games, addressed IOC President Thomas Bach directly, urging him to create a balance where Olympic victories are better valued. He said, "Winning Olympic gold is incredible, and that's why we go. We go knowing we're not going to make a lot of money off the back of it. The Olympics make crazy money every 4 years, big business, but the athletes aren't able to win any of that. If the IOC stepped in and offered a blanket amount, that would make a lot of athletes a lot happier." He added, "There are athletes who are struggling to make ends meet week in, week out, and struggling to put food on the table. You see stories of athletes going bankrupt to go to the Olympics, and I don't think that's right. Richards, who invests in the stock market himself, is currently saving for a house as well as preparing for a wedding after the Games with fellow swimmer Emily Large. Aldi and Team GB's Nearest and Dearest programme will provide support to Richards as he prepares for the Paris event. The programme works to maximise support and minimise distractions for athletes, helping them to focus on their performance. The swimmer, who was 18 years old at the time, made an impressive Olympic debut at Tokyo 2020, bagging gold in the 200-metre freestyle relay with a heroic third leg. Heading to Paris 2024, Richard is a top medal hope in the pool and is preparing for numerous individual and relay events. He has form on his side too, with last week's Aquatics GB Championship seeing Richards comfortably take 200-metre gold ahead of fellow Olympic and world champion Duncan Scott in silver.
Thief hid a meat up a skirt. A thief hid £100 worth of meat up a skirt as she walked out of a popular family-run farm shop. The owners of Three Counties Produce have shared their disappointment after a woman stole a large quantity of meat by hiding it up a skirt. Rob Thompson, who runs two stores in Worcester with his brother James, opened the Klein store a year ago and said they had never had a theft there before. "This is a first one for us," he said. "It's quite a nice area and the residents are really good and supportive of us. It's a real shame when you are trying to do stuff for the community and to get back a backlash in this form when our back is turned. It's disappointing. The theft occurred. The staff, who were disappointed they had not spotted it earlier, but Mr. Thompson reassured them it was not their fault. Three Counties Produce has now shared the incident on its Facebook page. We only shared it on social media to make other companies in the area aware of what they took in case they come into their store," he added. "The theft seems to be done by professionals. The woman had put it up her skirt. The incident occurred yesterday, Tuesday, at around 2:30 and was reported to West Mercia Police. The Thompson brothers took over the former Gwillams farm shop in April 2023 and have been a busy food produce store in Klein since. Three Counties Produce first opened on Church Street in Worcester and branched out to its Klein venue after wanting an out-of-the-city location. At the time, Rob Thompson said, "It's been exciting to get an out-of-town site. We had been looking for years, and when we saw that Gwillams farm shop was closing, we saw it as a perfect opportunity. It's been extremely busy, and we have had extremely good feedback."
Summer is just around the corner, and one of the UK's best hidden outdoor swimming pools is starting its preparations to help cool down its customers. The Droitwich Spa Lido has been jet-washed in preparation for the summer season as staff get ready to welcome back their customers for the new season. Droitwich Spa Lido has been open throughout the winter for its cold water swims, but it revealed it will be officially open for its summer sun on Saturday, May the 25th. The last day of the cold water swim will be on May the 12th. A spokesperson from Droitwich Spa Leisure Centre said, "Our Lido is ready for the summer season. Looks as good as new, thanks to M&D Jet Clean. Our Lido will be open for the summer season on Saturday, May the 25th. Also, don't forget, you can still enjoy cold water swimming until May the 12th.
Accessibility key to theatre's plans by Sarah Jane Morgan. I was delighted to be successful alongside 19 other venues across Worcestershire in securing a place for Worcester theatres on the Visit Worcestershire Accessible Tourism Programme, which is the first of its kind in the country. Yesterday we met online for the first time, attending the first of six seminars which will enable myself and two of my colleagues to become accessibility champions. It will support us to make simple changes to our venues, further enhance our facilities, provide training to our staff and wider volunteer team, enhance our customer service, and make sure our accessibility information for our disabled customers is easily accessible and well marketed. Access for All has always been an area of great personal importance for myself and for many of my colleagues at Worcester Theatres, and we have deeply embedded it in our organisational ethos. Despite the challenges that we face from our building's ages, and although we are not blessed with the perfect facilities for our disabled patrons, we work incredibly hard to ensure everyone receives the warmth, support and best provision we are able to offer when they decide to visit the Swan Theatre and Huntingdon Hall. Over the next 6 weeks, we will carry out a guided audit of our premises and then meet with the course leaders at the end of the programme before deciding how to most wisely spend the small grant that we will be awarded. By participating in the programme, carrying out the Access Action Plan and identifying the most pressing priorities within our venue. But more than this, we will be able to ensure our disabled visitors feel more welcomed, valued and understood by all of our staff, volunteers and the wider people.
An angry parish councillor is asking for information about a stolen speeding sign after years of campaigning to have it installed. Thieves have removed the vehicle-activated speed sign, or VAS, on Bath Road in St Peter's, leaving wires dangerously exposed after St Peter's Parish councillors noticed it had gone missing on Friday, April the 12th. The chair of St Peter's Parish Council, John Renshaw, said it took the councillors years of campaigning to get it installed and it is unknown when they may be able to get a new one to replace it. Councillor Renshaw said the council did liaise with Worcestershire County Council to see if it had been removed as a sign for a particular reason, but it confirmed it was unaware the sign was missing. I am extremely annoyed and angry, as not just myself, but also other councillors campaigned for a number of years after we received many complaints about noise from speeding vehicles, he said. It would have taken some effort to remove it as it was bolted to the pole. It must have involved a stepladder and they left the wires hanging out. Worcestershire Highways had to visit the sign on Bath Road to make the area safe due to the wires left sticking out of the pole. Councillor Renshaw added, we do hope to replace it as a number of residents said speeding had dropped on that stretch of road after the sign was installed in mid-December. Noise and speeding had decreased. I don't know how long it will take to replace it and there will clearly be a gap, but we as a council will be pushing for this to be replaced very soon. Noise and speeding increasing as now the sign has gone is very, very likely. Vehicle-activated signs on the side of the roads use radar technology to display a driver's speed as they approach it. If the driver exceeds the limit, the sign will flash at their speed.
Marcus is targeting the fastest tap record. A Worcester man will join 50,000 participants in the 44th London Marathon, challenging the iconic 26.2-mile course dressed as a giant tap. Marcus Mumford's unique attire is an attempt to set a new Guinness World Record. Given the marathon's significant difficulty, his whimsical endeavour has piqued the curiosity of spectators and fellow participants alike. I've been a supporter of the charity Water Aid for many years, explains Marcus, and they have various costumes that can be borrowed to help with fundraising. One of them is a toilet and another is a tap. 10 years ago, I decided to see if there was a world record for running a marathon while dressed as a toilet. And at the time, there wasn't, so I thought I'd have a go at setting one. The London Marathon is an amazing experience for everyone, but when you're in fancy dress, the support from the crowds goes into overdrive. There were three of us lined up as toilets going out for the record that year, but I managed to finish the fastest, and my record of 2 hours 57 and 28 seconds will stand to this day. That experience of setting a record and being the fastest toilet was something I will always treasure, but now, 10 years later, I'm ready to try it for another record and I've chosen a tap. This time there is an existing time to beat that was set in 2016 by Thomas Langdown and stands at 3 hours 29. It's very tough target for what is quite a bulky costume, but I'm hoping I can beat it. If you'd like to support Marcus's fundraising attempt, then donations can be made online at tinyearl.com/fastesttap.
Harriet Baldwin, MP, has praised the work of tourism teams in the area for promoting attractions across the county. The West Worcestershire MP celebrated the efforts of the tourism teams, speaking of the substantial economic benefits, including boosting jobs and bringing valuable income into the area. Mrs. Baldwin's praise came during a visit to Whitley Court, which was a popular English heritage property until a fire wrecked the building in 1937 as part of English Tourism Week. The week aims to promote nearby attractions throughout the summer and drive visitor numbers up. Despite the blaze's effects, the site is considered one of the England's greatest country homes, now boasting plenty of visitors due to its extensive gardens and working fountain. Mrs. Baldwin said, "Whitley Court is one of the jewels in our local tourist offering and is always good to visit and catch up with the team promoting the attraction to visitors from near and far. With the winter hopefully behind us, it is good to get out and get some fresh air and exercise. And it's clear from their briefing to me that destinations like Whitley Court are getting back to pandemic visitor numbers. We are blessed to have such beautiful attractions on our doorstep, whether it's formal gardens like Whitley Court or the wild terrains of the Malvern and Breeden Hills, and I am delighted to help to do my bit to promote local tourism." Matt Bulford, English Heritage Head of Historic Properties for the West Midlands, said, "We were delighted to welcome Dame Harriet back to Whitley Court and to update her on all that we've been doing to both care for the remains of one of England's greatest country houses with its beautiful gardens and wild woodlands and enhance the experience for visitors from near and far. Our charity is working hard to provide more opportunities for local people to connect with the unique heritage at the heart of the community here at Whitley Court, including through volunteering opportunities and supporting free school visits, with over 9,000 school visitors welcomed at the site since English Heritage became a charity in 2015.
Ex-editor avoids jail over abuse images. A former newspaper editor who made indecent images of children has avoided jail. Rob George, ex-editor of the Worcester Observer, appeared at Wolverhampton Crown Court on Friday. The 42-year-old of Rowan Close, Bromsgrove, previously admitted three charges of making indecent photographs of a child. George made one Category A image, the worst level identified within the sentencing guidelines, two Category B images and 36 Category C images. At the sentencing hearing, George was handed a three-year community order, ordered to sign onto the sex offenders register for 5 years and ordered to carry out 180 hours of unpaid work. He was also handed a sexual harm prevention order and must carry out a rehabilitation activity requirement for 50 days. He must also pay costs of £250. George was initially interviewed about the offences more than 2 years ago, on February the 2nd, 2022. He appeared before magistrates on February the 15th, when he admitted making the images between March the 7th, 2014, and October the 14th, 2021, in Bromsgrove. A sentencing hearing at Worcester Crown Court had to be adjourned last month for legal reasons. The court heard that George was considering serious self-harm. George was previously listed as being the editor of the Bullivant media-owned Worcester Observer, Malvern Observer and Evesham Observer on their websites. He has also worked as a reporter at the Bromsgrove Standard. In a statement following the sentencing, the Worcester Observer said, The first the company knew about the case came after the proceedings in February at Worcester Magistrates Court. The company was shocked, saddened, and disturbed by the situation. George resigned from his positions with the papers with immediate effect. Had he not, he would have faced disciplinary proceedings for gross misconduct in line with the company's code of conduct.
A pub that claims to be the oldest in Worcester wants to build a big new gazebo in its beer garden. The Cardinal's Hat in Friar Street is Grade 2 listed and dates back to around 1497. A temporary canopy was put up in its garden during the COVID pandemic, allowing it to keep trading, and was later given temporary retrospective planning permission, which expires this month. The pub's owners say they have considered a number of options for outdoor coverings, including awnings, stretched tents and pergolas, but have settled on a gazebo as their preferred option. Through pre-application dialogue with Worcester City Council, planning and conservation officers, it was agreed that this was the preferred option. Architects Dyer said in a planning statement, "This solution creates a lightweight and easily demountable shelter over the beer garden, which will have minimal impact on the existing building fabric and will require simple foundation fixings. The stretched fabric roof covering can be supplied in a range of colour options to suit the pub branding, or it can be kept light in colour to maximise daylight under the shelter. The existing brick wall is extended in height to measure 1,340 mm, which will help to reduce noise emissions but will allow the requisite open air to the sides of the enclosure for smoke ventilation. The pair of seating booths, which were consented as part of the temporary application, are retained as part of this proposal. It will be open at the same hours as the public house itself. Over the years, the Cardinal's Hat has been known by other names, like in around 1760 when the current building was constructed and it was called the Swan and Falcon. It was also called the Coventry Arms for more than a century before reverting back to its original name in the 1950s.
A crash shut part of a busy roundabout and triggered a large emergency response. Multiple emergency vehicles were on the scene at around 7:45 on a Friday evening. Firefighters said one male casualty was involved. There were two fire engines at the scene, two ambulances and several police cars on blue lights at the busy roundabout where the A4440 meets the A38. Several firefighters were observed around the damaged vehicle. The barrier surrounding the edge of the roundabout was buckled in the incident. A section of the roundabout was closed, so traffic coming from the Carrington Bridge was unable to turn right onto the A38 Worcester Road towards Kempsey. Instead, traffic was diverted straight onto the A4440 towards St Peter's, or left towards the A38 Bath Road. By around 8:20, the roundabout was completely reopened and all emergency vehicles had left the scene. A wrecked Toyota Hilux covered in police tape was still on the Ketch roundabout in Worcester the following morning after suffering heavy front ends damage during the crash last night. An eyewitness said there were large numbers of emergency vehicles at the scene, which I could see from St Peter's roundabout. I could see firefighters around the damaged cars. Fingers crossed everyone is okay. A spokesperson for Hereford and Worcester Fire and Rescue Service confirmed they sent two fire engines to the scene after receiving a call at 7:17 to report of a 4x4 through the barrier of the roundabout. He said one male casualty was conscious and breathing at the scene. The critical care team, an ambulance and police were all in attendance. The fire service spokesperson confirmed. We have also approached West Mercia Police and the West Midlands Ambulance Service for more information on the incident.
And this is another one about an incident and an air ambulance. A woman was in a critical condition as the air ambulance landed on a supermarket car park in Worcester. The Midlands Air Ambulance helicopter, along with two ambulances, were called to the incident in Windermere Drive in Warndon, Worcester, on Sunday, April the 14th. The woman was found in a critical condition and was provided advanced life support before being taken to Worcestershire Royal Hospital. Witnesses said that a large crowd formed around the air ambulance when it landed on Sainsbury's supermarket car park. A spokesperson from West Midlands Ambulance Service said, "We were called to a medical incident at the private address on Windermere Drive in Warndon, Worcester at 4:32 p.m. An ambulance arrived on the scene in 5 minutes and was followed shortly after by a second ambulance and the Midlands Air Ambulance from Strensham. On arrival, crews found a woman in a critical condition and provided advanced life support before she was conveyed to go to ambulance in Worcester."
Candidate record for the Greens. The Green Party says it has more female candidates standing than in any previous Worcester City Council election. The Greens have 35 candidates standing across all 16 wards in the city, including 19 women. Claire Ratton, election agent and candidate for St Nicholas, said, "I'm delighted to unveil our team of fantastic Green Party candidates, ready to represent communities across Worcester in the council elections on Thursday, May the 2nd. We are the only party standing more women than men in this election, and the most women in the long history of our city."
A record number of eligible adults received a bowel cancer screening in the county last year. In 2023, three quarters of eligible adults in Worcestershire had the screening marking the highest participation to date. These figures place the county significantly above the national average for the past 2 years. As April marks Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, Worcestershire County Council is celebrating the increased participation. Lisa McNally, Director of Public Health in Worcestershire, said, "We have seen a real upturn and a real positive change in our bowel cancer screening numbers over the last couple of years here in Worcestershire, which is great as early detection is really important. I'd encourage everyone who is eligible to take part in the screening programme. It's straightforward to do with a home test kit and it can literally save your life. Screening is currently available to people aged 60 to 74 with plans of expansion to those between 50 to 59 years in a 4-year plan."
Locomotive lineup change for the Steam Gala. Following a high profile cancellation, the Severn Valley Railway has announced a last minute guest for its upcoming spring Steam Gala. With a little over a week to go before the event, from Thursday to Sunday, April the 18th to the 21st, the organisers have welcomed GWR number 1369 to the lineup. The historic locomotive is brought in as a replacement guest following the cancellation of the appearance of new build locomotive 6880 Breton Grange due to incomplete testing and running procedures. SVR's Managing Director, Jonathan Gus Dunster, said, "We're extremely grateful to the South Devon Railway for agreeing to the appearance of 1369 at our spring steam gala. It will be a great attraction as the sole survivor of its very small, original class of just six engines. Despite a few last-minute changes, the SVR team is optimistic about the guest rearrangement, which sees locomotive 813 being replaced with the 1369 due to a leaking saddle tank problem." Mr. Dunstan added, "Stania Mogul 13268 will take over 6880's diagram, which gives it the opportunity for a very high mileage across the event. Additionally, 21C127 Tor Valley will re-enter service, taking up the space vacated by 13628. And we've drafted in guest loco 1369 to replace 813. The appearance of Stania Mogul in service is set to be a major highlight. Mr. Dunster said, "We kept it under wraps since it has received its superb new livery and it will debut at the gala in the LMS-lined black livery it originally carried when it first entered service in 1930. The gala promises an intensive timetable on all 4 days, including goods trains and double headers, with services set to make a stop at the recently reopened Erdington Station. There'll be a barbecue at the Engine House, Highley, and a travelling tavern on selected services from Friday to Sunday. For more details and to book tickets, visit svr.co.uk.
Youths ran away when a police van pulled up at the shops after officers received reports of antisocial behaviour causing upset in the community. A large group of youths could be seen gathered in Cranham Parade in Cranham Drive in Warnden, Worcester, on Thursday evening. One witness said, "I saw a police van pull into the service road by the shops and one of the group shouted, 'Run!' and they ran off down the alley by the spa shop. Within seconds, they were gone. The van driver did another loop of the service road, coming back the same way, but the lads had not come back. It's good to see the police responding to public concern," Safer Neighbourhood Inspector Tanya Beckett said on Friday. "We received a report of antisocial behaviour yesterday evening around 6 p.m. on Cranham Drive in Worcester. Officers promptly attended the incident and the group that had been reported to us in the area had left. We will continue to work alongside shop owners and the community in the area to address such issues and ask people to report any antisocial behaviour they see. We understand the concern and upset this type of behaviour brings to the local community, and we take any issues around antisocial behaviour very seriously. We have previously reported how a dispersal notice was issued to Warnden concerns about antisocial behaviour in Cranham Parade. Two people have already been removed from the area. The dispersal order has been imposed under Section 34 of the Antisocial Behaviour Crime and Policing Act 2014. Dispersal orders make it an offence for people to return to this specific area for up to 48 hours. The order started at 4:42 p.m. on Tuesday, March the 26th, and the additional patrols were carried out.
Celebrity backs charity campaign. Stephen Fry is among the famous faces who have backed a campaign led by cancer charities in a bid to recruit a new generation of volunteers. The actor and writer, who announced his prostate cancer diagnosis in 2018, features in a new video for the Big Help Out campaign, which encourages the public to lend a hand for an hour or a day. Macmillan Cancer Support, Cancer Research UK, Breast Cancer Now and Young Lives Versus Cancer are among the host of health charities collaborating on the project to boost volunteering across the country. In the video, Fry leads a string of famous faces in saying, "You are not alone." Presenter Laura Whitmore, former athlete Dame Kelly Holmes, Good Morning Britain host Charlotte Hawkins, and former Strictly Come Dancing star Dame Arlene Phillips are also among the celebrities who can be seen repeating the campaign slogan. Fry continues, "I'm one of the millions in the UK who's faced the battle against cancer. I know the feeling of being alone and the fear. But thanks to the NHS, our loved ones, and the thousands of volunteers across the country supporting health charities, you are not alone. From fundraisers to befrienders, from residential volunteers to campaigners, there's a network of support ready for you, provided and funded by volunteers."
Peregrine falcon eggs, which have been laid in a nest on Worcester Cathedral, are almost ready to hatch. The monitoring team has calculated the eggs are in the penultimate week of incubation, and next weekend, IAS's young hawks could be born. A spokesperson said the peregrine chicks are well formed by the penultimate week of incubation. The chick stage of development is perfect for hatching. Their neck muscles are strong and they have developed an egg tooth, a hard pointed area at the top of the mandible. This is what the chick uses to break free from the egg. Hatching is not easy to predict. Like human babies, the due dates are a guide. Some eggs may hatch earlier and some later. There are lots of little signals we will look out for in the coming days. Updates are shared on the Peregrine Falcons in Worcester Facebook page or via the live feed on YouTube. And that's the last item this evening. And we'd like to say good night to all of you. I will be reading the obituaries before we finish. I'd like to say good night to my team tonight. From Peter.
Good night.
And Sue.
Good night.
And
good
Lynn.
Night. Good night.
And from me too, but I shall say goodnight again at the end. Many, many thanks, and I hope you all have a lovely week. Take care. Hope the weather improves, or changes anyway, and you all keep warm and safe. Do look after yourselves. You matter very much to us. Good night. And now the thought for the week. This is taken from Philippians 4, verse 7. Peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. And now the obituaries for this week. Irene Allen passed away peacefully on the 29th of March at Fernal Heath House Care Home, aged 96 years. The funeral service will take place at the Vale Crematorium on Tuesday the 23rd of April at 12 p.m. Donations if desired for St Richard's Hospice, and there will be a collection box available at the crematorium. Brian Jones, it says he was an ex-plumber, passed peacefully away in hospital on the 4th of April, aged 78 years. The service to celebrate his life will be held at Worcester Crematorium on Friday the 26th of April at 12:15 p.m. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, to St Richard's Hospice via St Bedwardine Funeral Services website or left in the donation box on the day. All inquiries to Bedwardine Funeral Services on telephone number 01905 748811. Hazel Sanders of Ombersley passed away peacefully on the 25th of March, aged 95 years. Her funeral service is at St Andrew's Church, Ombersley, on Thursday the 25th of April at 11 a.m, followed by interment at the churchyard. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, for Alzheimer's Research UK may be left on the collection plate at the church, or sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, WR37EU. Frances Grove passed away peacefully at her home on Monday the 1st of April, aged 94 years. A funeral service will be held on Monday the 22nd of April at 11 a.m. at St Bartholomew's Church, Beighton, Kidderminster. That's DY14 9LP. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, may be made to the Salvation Army and R&I Healthcare. The donations can be left in the collection box on the day or sent to Jackson Family Funeral Directors, Delise, Wells Road, Malvern, WR14 4JL. The telephone number is 01684 563 983. Arthur Norman Guest passed away in hospital, aged 82, on Wednesday the 27th of March. A celebration of Arthur's life will be held at Worcester Crematorium on Wednesday the 24th of April at 1 p.m. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, would be warmly accepted to Blood Cancer UK. Donations can be sent direct to donate.bloodcancer.org.uk or put in the donation box provided on the day. All inquiries to the Co-op Funeral Care. That's 01905 22137. Brendan Noke passed away peacefully at home on the 2nd of April, aged 91 years. funeral service is to take place at the Worcester Crematorium on Tuesday the 23rd of April at 2:30 p.m. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, would be gratefully received for a charity of your own personal choice. All inquiries to go to Funeral Care Co-op, 17 Lowsmore, Worcester, WR1 2RS. Telephone number 01905 22137. Annette Stanton died surrounded by her family on the 8th of April, aged 83 years. A service to celebrate Annette's life will take place at 12:15 p.m. on Tuesday the 7th of May at Worcester Crematorium. Please send floral tributes to the Co-op Funeral Care Worcester. Donations, if desired, would be gratefully received for ovarian cancer. And inquiries to the Co-op are on telephone number 01905 22137. Michael Anthony Coombs from Mike Coombs Metals died at home in the presence of his family on Monday the 25th of March. A celebration of Michael's life will be held at Worcester Crematorium on Monday the 22nd of April at 2:30 p.m. Dress code smartly casual, please. Family flowers only, but donations in lieu of flowers warmly accepted for St Richard's Hospice. Donations can be sent direct to St Richard's or left in the donation box provided on the day. And all inquiries to AV Band St John's, that's 01905 947 272. The telephone numbers will now follow.
Useful telephone numbers. To contact fire, police or ambulance in an emergency, 999 or 112.
The Domestic Abuse Helpline is 0800 980 331.
For emergency social care calls to Worcestershire County Council, ring 01905 768 020. And for non-urgent calls to the County Council, ring 01905 765 765.
To contact the Electricity National Grid in emergency, dial 105. In the event of a power cut, ring 0800 917 7953. There is a priority service available for which you can register free of charge. For that service, dial 0800 032 8302.
Worcester Talking News here in Wilds Lane is 01905 767766. Listeners should be aware that this is not manned daily and you may get an answering service. Please be patient if a reply is required.
For non-urgent calls to the fire prevention team and for fire safety concerns in general, ring 0800 032 1155.
For non-urgent calls to the police, ring 101.
For scams and nuisance phone calls, dial 1572, listen to the instruction, press 1, and listen again. Press 1 again to delete that number so they won't trouble you again.
Crime Stoppers is a charity allowing people to report crime information anonymously. Their number is 0800 555 111.
To contact NHS Direct, ring 111.
Samaritans 116 123, a free phone number.
Citizens Advice is 0808 278 7891.
Age UK, Worcester 724 294.
Worcester Live, that's for the Swan Theatre and the Huntingdon Hall box office. The number is 01905 611 427.
The box office at Malvern Theatres is 01684 892277.
Norbury Theatre Box Office is 01905 770154.
Number 8 Theatre in Pershaw, 01386 555488.
For Sense Adventures, that's Walking for the Visually Impaired, ring D. Jones on 07920 144 614 or use their website, which is, all small case, www.senseadventures.co.uk. Worcester Wheels number for transport is 01905 450 654 and they're available from 8:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Link Nurseries at Powick have a gardening session for the visually impaired on Friday mornings. And for more information, phone 01905 831 881.